again bring greetings to each one here this evening in the precious name of Jesus, the name that deserves all honor and glory. If it were not for Jesus, we wouldn't be here in this way this evening. This evening, I want to think for a little while of maintaining a proper eternal perspective. Maintaining a proper eternal perspective. Now, perspective is our point of view, the way we bring things together and understand certain things. And as we think of us human beings here on planet Earth, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. During that time, we live here, and we move, and we make decisions, make choices. You know, when God created Adam, the Bible says that He made him in His likeness, in His image. And I really believe that God made Adam, He created him in a way that he could just keep right on living. But God told Adam that they were not to eat of the tree of life, of the tree of good and evil. So the knowledge of good and evil. And man made a choice there. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. And God had breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So here was now man with a body that could die because he sinned against God. God had said that if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And so Adam had a body now that would die. After a period of years on the earth, he would die. But he was a living soul also. And that soul would live on eternally. So we find ourselves in a position today where we must make choices, we must make decisions that have eternal consequences. We know that these bodies that we live in will die unless the Lord returns first. Then they'll be changed. But if the Lord tarries in coming, we will each one someday pass from this life. These bodies will go back to dust. But the soul that is eternal will live on. And so as we think of that, we think of the importance of choosing God's will in all of life. Last evening we looked at the fact that there's two ways, there's two gates, and there's two destinies. And so if we want to arrive with God in heaven, we must take His way, and we must make choices that show that we are living for the Lord, and that we are looking beyond life into eternity. And these choices, these decisions that we make, do have eternal consequences, beloved. I know we've been studying the life of Joseph in our Sunday school lessons, but I see a man, I see that Joseph was a person that was very God conscious. I believe he kept God in his thoughts continually. I believe he somehow understood his accountability before God. As we look at the choices, the decisions that Joseph made, I believe we can see that as he encountered circumstances, he viewed each circumstance in the light of eternity. The light of eternity. That's a real challenge for us today. How do we view the different circumstances and things that come into our life? Do we think of eternity? Do we think of how this decision, this choice that we're about to make will affect us in eternity? We want to think of some helps in keeping our perspective eternal. I heard him mention how Joseph was God conscious. Joseph was a young man. We begin reading of him when he was around 17 years of age. I don't know exactly how old he was when he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. But in Genesis 39, in verse 9, when he came up against an evil woman and she wanted him to commit a very gross sin, he right away said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph recognized the fact that sin is against God. And choosing sin is a way of death. It's a way of separation from God. But Joseph, in his desire to be faithful to God, said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And he fled from the presence of that woman. I believe Joseph realized that God is altogether holy. And as his children, as his followers, we must also live holy lives. In Isaiah 6 and verse 3, it says the seraphims cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Thrice holy. And God demands holiness from his children. God cannot and will not tolerate sin in any way. So as we come up against the situations in life that we meet, and they are varied and they are many, we must remember that our God is a holy God, and he will not be reconciled with sin in any way. We need to be very careful that we make our choices, our decisions, in the light of the holiness of God, in the light of eternity. What will this do to me? What will this do to my eternal soul if I do this, what I'm confronted with? What will it do to my soul? We recognize the fact, brothers and sisters, that we have an enemy that is trying all he can to turn us away from God, to destroy our souls in hell. But we are so thankful for the promises of God and for the provisions that he has made that we can be victorious, and we can make decisions and choices that are according to the will of God. I believe that in order to maintain an eternal perspective, our minds must continually be turning toward God. I'd like to turn to Psalm 63. Read the first 8 verses here. Psalm 63. Read verses 1 through 8. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. A beautiful psalm here, the Psalm of David. David was looking to God for his help. He was looking to God for direction in life. And he was following hard after God. Like he says here in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. And then says, thy right hand upholdeth me. So as we endeavor to maintain an eternal perspective, a proper eternal perspective, our minds must continually be turning toward God. When we awaken in the morning, we must direct our thoughts toward God. Direct our minds toward God. During the day as we labor, go about our daily duties, our minds need to be turned heavenward. I believe in the evening before retiring, we need a time of soul searching where we reflect on the happenings of the day. Did my responses to the circumstances that I encountered today, were they such that were God honoring, that God would approve of? We all face temptations. We all face hard things, difficulties in life. How do we respond? Are we responding in a way that if we're looking beyond time into eternity, and we desire with all our heart to do God's will so that we can be with God in eternity? You know, when we think of eternity, we cannot comprehend that word. No way. For me to think of the fact that God just always was, I can go to a certain point and then I stop. My mind is not capable of grasping eternity. But brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us enough about the two destinations that we better really mean business with God while we're walking here on planet Earth. We better be mighty careful in our choices and our decisions, because they do have eternal consequences. Thinking again of Joseph, he was not ignorant of the will and promises of God. How he gained his knowledge, I do not know. But I'm sure that God somehow revealed things to him. And Joseph was faithful in living in obedience to God's will. Joseph looked beyond time into eternity and understood the importance of making right choices. When Joseph made choices that that were according to the will of God, do you think that maybe the immediate consequences that he saw, do you think he maybe became a little discouraged? Think of what happened to him. And he was told by his father to go out and check on his brothers. And the scripture tells us that they hated Joseph. He knew it. When someone hates you, they can't hide it from you. But he was faithful in obeying his father. He chose to be obedient to the will of his father. He went and looked up his brothers. And well, we know the story. He was thrown in the pit. And then he was sold to these that were traveling by. And then he was sold again as a slave in Egypt. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned. Do you think he thought maybe he had made the wrong choices, the wrong decisions? I don't know. I don't know how he felt. But I know how I can become discouraged. But I believe that Joseph's faith was grounded in the promises of God. And he was looking beyond this life into the future. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He said, "Blessed are you when that happens." So as we, and then in 1 Peter 3, it talks about suffering for doing right. That's God's will, that we suffer even when we do what's right. God is honored this way. He's glorified. So did Joseph make a mistake for being faithful? No. Because of his faithfulness in keeping his perspective right, God could take him from the prison to be next to the king in Egypt. There, Joseph did a tremendous service for all the Egyptians, for his own family and many others. He interpreted dreams. And this was all, God used him this way because of his faithfulness in keeping his perspective right. God could use him in a mighty way. And I believe it's the same for us today, that as we keep our perspective where it needs to be, as we think of eternity, and make our choices and decisions according to that, God can use us for his glory. Joseph, even in the height of his glory and power, he did not lose his eternal perspective. When he came to the end of his life, here in chapter 50 of Genesis, we read how he told the leaders of Israel that when I die, when the children of Israel go back to Canaan, I want my bones taken out, and I want my bones to go back to the land of Canaan. For us today, the end of our life, we look forward to entering into the presence of God. But we can only have that hope as we keep our perspective where it needs to be. We have examples of some that did not keep their perspective right. King Hezekiah and Isaiah, he was sick, nigh unto death. The prophet told him to set his house in order because he was going to die. Well, he begged of God to be able to live longer. And God healed him. But then there was representatives from another kingdom came with gifts. And Hezekiah was so pleased to see these people and the gifts that they brought that he just opened up his whole whole house, his whole kingdom there to, for them to see what all that, that he had. And it was highly displeasing to God. Hezekiah was told by the prophet that all these things would be taken to Babylon, would be taken away. But he said, in your day, there will be peace and safety. And I just marvel at the answer that Hezekiah gave when he said, at least there will be peace and safety in my day. His perspective for the ongoing generations was not what it needed to be. Brothers and sisters, as we, as our perspective is in the eternal, I believe that it will cause us to have a real concern for our children, for our grandchildren, for all Christians, and for everyone that we want to see, the church going forward and growing and prospering. Not only that there's peace and safety in my day, in our day, our perspective is very, if we can't see farther than ourselves, we're not looking into eternity. And we have the example of King Saul, 1 Samuel 15, how he was told to destroy the Amalekites. And God gave very explicit direction. He gave the command in verse 3. In verse 9, we see partial obedience. And then we see Saul justifying himself, shifting the blame to the people, justifying himself again. But you know what? God held him responsible for his actions. He had sinned. He was not looking into the future. He was looking at these goodly animals that could make his wealth greater here in this world. I believe, brothers and sisters, any form of disobedience is clear evidence that we are losing or have lost our eternal perspective. Any form of disobedience. How many people will be cast into hell because they allowed themselves to be drawn away from that which has eternal value to the temporal things that Satan and the world has to offer? And it's sad to think of that. And I believe that God gives us a real opportunity today to really prove our love for Him by using the things that we must use to maintain life and to support our families and to support the church. These material things, but if we use them in a way that honors God, then I believe we're keeping our perspective eternal, our perspective where it needs to be. But you know, these very things that we need to use can draw our attention away from God, away from eternity. And the fact that we will be judged according to the deeds done in the body. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, have an account of verse 19. I'll read through the end of the chapter. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It's a very soul-searching account here. I don't believe that Lazarus enjoyed the bliss of paradise just because he was a poor man. I believe it's because he had a relationship with the Lord. The rich man had made his choices, his decisions, according to financial gain, what he could accumulate for himself. He had no mercy on Lazarus. Even the dogs were more merciful to Lazarus than what the rich man was. At least they came and licked his sores and maybe gave him some relief that way. But in eternity, Lazarus was comforted. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. He was tormented. Can we fathom the fact that to this day that poor man has not received that one drop of water to cool his tongue with? He was begging for it how many thousands of years ago, and he still has not had that one drop of water. And he never will. Can we comprehend the seriousness this evening of keeping our perspective eternal and not focusing on the things of this life, what we can accumulate here? Oh, Satan wants to lull us to sleep. He wants us to get our eyes off of God, off of eternity, and just look at these, what the world has to offer. There's a little chorus that I learned when I was just a child. I don't think it's one that's known very far and wide in our circles, but the words go like this: if souls from death could e'er come back to live their lives again, how differently they'd walk and talk, and from all sin refrain. Are you living for the Lord? Are you trusting in His Word? Are you living with eternity in view? Do not turn the Lord away. Let Him in your heart today. Ever do just what the Lord would have you do. It's a little chorus with a lot of meaning. We go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 24 through 26 here. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, Moses, we all know this story. Now, he was really supposed to be drowned in the river. But he was miraculously saved, and he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. He could have had, we could say, everything that his soul could have desired as far as earthly things are concerned. I mean, just anything. But you know what? By faith, Moses had his vision on into eternity. It says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And here was a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then that's all the pleasures of sin do. They just last for a little short time and it's done. And then it's the eternal consequence of burning and burning and burning in the fire of hell eternally. Eternally separated from God, eternally tormented with the thought that I had the opportunity to follow the Lord and I refused. I took my own way. And I believe that will torment many a people in hell. Just that thought of how they turned away from the Lord. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ as a great wealth. Great riches. Oh, we think of Donald Trump and his billions of dollars and, you know, Trump Tower and what all money can do. You know what, brothers and sisters? President Trump will leave this planet Earth someday and he'll leave all that money behind. The place will hardly remember him anymore. If the Lord tarries enough years, well, yeah, he'll be, you know, this man that lived back there and he had a lot of money, but it won't do him a bit of good in eternity. Oh, may we keep our eyes on the goal. May we, by God's grace, look beyond time and into eternity and make our decisions and our choices in the light of the future. And I'll read... I'd like to read verses 13 through 16 of this same chapter, Hebrews 11. Speaking of these patriarchs of faith, said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Yes, beloved, we choose our destiny. God has provided the means, the way whereby we can follow him, where we can get to heaven. But we must choose that way. And if we don't choose that, then we automatically are choosing the other way. But these patriarchs of faith, they chose to follow the Lord. They hadn't received the promises that they were told of, but they by faith they could see him afar off. You know, we've never seen God, we've never seen heaven, but we're convinced this evening beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real, heaven is real, and all that God has promised for his children is real. We're persuaded of them and we embrace that. We embrace that truth. We hang on to it. We don't want to let it go. We choose to embrace that and we confess that we're strangers and pilgrims here in this world. Oh, sometimes I wonder how much are we truly strangers and pilgrims here. That's a sobering thought. It's something that I need to ask myself. Am I truly a pilgrim and stranger in this world today? Oh, we can add farm to farm. We can add more to our business. We can, you know, the opportunities are there to expand, to grow in these things. And if a person is willing to sacrifice, you can make money. But you know what? If we're willing to sacrifice for the right thing, we can be rich in the kingdom of God. And that's what we want. Yes, we need to use these things. We need to make a living. It's all part of God's plan. But I believe in the midst of that, God wants to see that, you know, we're choosing every day that this is enough of this. And we're busy in the kingdom work. We don't have to have the largest business. We don't have to show the biggest profit. But we are sincere in following God, making decisions and choices that show that our goal is heaven. That's what we want. We want our children to be influenced to follow that way. We want the church to go that way. We don't want to see anybody left behind. We want to leave the example that we are plainly seeking that heavenly country, that heavenly kingdom where Jesus is. If we want to inherit that kingdom, we must first have the kingdom of God within us and be living for Him so that someday we can enter into His presence. Verse 15 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." You know, brothers and sisters, at any point along our journey toward heaven, it is possible that we could turn back. It is. But that's not what we want. We don't want that. We want to stay determined by the power and grace of God to keep pressing forward, to move on toward God and what He has for His children. We seek that better country that is in heavenly. You know, when we do that, then God is not ashamed to call us His children. He's not ashamed to be our God. And we're so thankful for that this evening. So, brothers, sisters, this evening we find ourselves this side of the goal yet. Our course is not yet finished. There's an ongoing battle to be fought. There are many, if the Lord tarries, there's many more decisions that we will need to make, many more choices that we will need to make. Let's be faithful in keeping God first in our lives. Let's allow Jesus to truly be our Lord, our Savior and Lord, and just be fully surrendered to Him and to His will. Make all of our decisions in the light of eternity. And God bless each one.